What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Pack Leader Podcast, episode number 6. It's hard to believe we're already on episode number 6. When we first got started, really, it felt like we were in some uncharted territories, but now we feel like we got the hang of things, and I'd say it's been pretty fun.
I still feel like we're treading water a little bit, but but they have been enjoyable. Gotten to catch up with a lot of guys. Today will be fun as well. But yeah, now at least we got our feet on the ground a little bit.
Yep. And if you haven't noticed, we're here with two of the GOATs. Got Isaiah Royal here. I'm going to get into all of his accolades and the things he's accomplished, along with also All-American Caleb Spears. Welcome, fellas.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As always, we want to just remind you guys that you can find the podcast on all podcatchers. That's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, etc. And you can also find it on our website. You go to our home website and you can find it by clicking right up at the top. Just search Newberry Podcast Hub and it should be pretty easy to locate. As always, we want to give a special shout out to our Pimpool members. This year was a tremendous success. We had 162 different members at all different levels between All-Conference, All-American, and National Champion, and we couldn't be more grateful for the support that we've had. We reached our goal. You know, the goal was to bring in $300 per pin that we earned, and we finished up at $302, so that was awesome.
Got a little wiggle room, a little insurance there. I like it.
Yeah, got a little bit of insurance there because not everybody made it to the end of the season with us, so we could use it.
Absolutely.
And we brought in 61 pins, so I'm excited to say that, you know, we can finally get, you know, Blanton was in here early today designing some much-needed wrestling mats. You guys know definitely need some.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think we've been the same mats we're wrestling on right now. Me and him competed on as well.
Nostalgia.
Yeah, so
they were here when I arrived in 06, yeah, to tell you how old they are. So thank you so much, everyone who participated in the pin pool.
Yeah, so we are in the process of designing those mats, and as that process gets finalized, I'll definitely be in touch with the pin pool members to keep you updated to see what we come up with. We got one of the best in the game in Blanton is when it comes to not only wrestling, but a lot of people don't know, in designing as well. These guys can attest, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Between singlets, between mats, between gear, he always makes sure we're looking fresh, so I'm excited to see what you come up with those mats.
Final singlets or national singlets were dope this year. I got to toot my own horn a little bit.
Yeah, those so are, many compliments on those. Yeah,
right, those are my favorite ones so far.
Yeah, those are pretty sick. So yeah, let's get into this recap. We got, like I said, we got Royal and we got Spears on here. Name of the podcast is Pack Leader Podcast, and usually we have alumni, you know, on the show to kind of go through things and how Newberry prepared them to be a leader. But with these two wrapping up their career, we definitely wanted to get into an interview with them later on, which we'll do. But before we do that, we want to recap the NCAA Division II Wrestling Championships that happened on March 11th and 12th in St. Louis. Obviously, you know, Isaiah took fourth, finished up fourth in the country. And Spears, you finished up seventh. The team as a whole finished number 15 in a two-way tie with Tiffin University in Ohio. So another finish, you know, with us in the top 20. And also we hit 100, the 100 mark for national qualifiers.
Oh, nice. I didn't realize we had hit that exact milestone, but it's kind of nice because then you know exactly what percentage of your qualifiers are All-Americans.
Oh, I like that. Nice. You're the numbers guy. So, yeah, hit 100 national qualifiers in program history. But I was also super proud, just the Super Region 2 in general. You know, normally everybody knows we kind of get the short end of the stick when it comes to rankings and the way people, you know, show respect to us when we get to the tournament. But, you know, Lander, they finished number 13. They had an undefeated national champ at 141 pounds in Zeth Brower. Limestone had two All-Americans. They finished 17th. Belmont Abbey had two All-Americans. They finished 20th. And UNCP showed up and had one All-American as well. Obviously, Daggett being a returning finalist, I felt bad because, you know, he didn't make it back to the finals again. But I was glad to see him get on the podium. And so, yeah, I feel like we showed up with the number of AAs we brought back, because that's a super high percentage for you know, the total number of All-Americans.
Absolutely. And I know the last couple of years as a region, we've been a little bit down. So it was nice to see us kind of get back up and start to claim, you know, a better percentage of those All-American spots to come home to our region. So that was always – it's always good to see that. Not that we want our immediate competition to be stronger, but we do want our region as a whole to garner a little more respect. So yeah, it's always a good thing. We kind of band together there at the end of the year typically. Yeah.
Definitely. We were rooting. I know we were kind of following guys around, you know, different mats. How's Radcliffe doing? You know, how's Daggett doing? That kind of thing. But, you know, but during the season, it's back to business as usual. So,
absolutely.
But, yeah, let's get into this recap. So, Evan Kerrigan, he got us started off for the first match of the season. Really had one heck of a season. You know, knocked off Christian Mayhaw, who he had in that first round, you know, by major decision. But, unfortunately, took that close 2-1 loss to him in that first match out.
Yeah, and he – you know, he was banged up a little bit of a knee injury that held him out of some practices. So we knew it was going to be a long shot, but he really gave himself a chance to win that last second takedown in the first period.
Yeah.
Controlling elbows and just – I think there was a little more time on the clock than he realized. I think that's kind of what got to him. He thought there was like 4 seconds left. There was like 8 seconds left, something along those lines. But kind of tried to survive there, just needed a few more seconds and gave up that late takedown. That was the only points Mayock scored. So,
yeah.
You know, after that one moment, Kerrigan out-wrestled him 1-0, but it just wasn't enough. And he – Mayha, I guess you could say, got redemption on that loss that Kerrigan gave to him at National Duels, where Kerrigan kind of dominated.
Yeah.
Got a major.
He absolutely dominated.
Yeah, he put
And you could tell the other guy knew that, like just staying away from him because we all know Kerrigan likes big moves.
Yeah.
But, yep. And he's one of the most exciting guys to watch. So.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and that's a great point. That was very much the case. That match was Mayha trying to almost, like risk management.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to say run, but he honestly just ran from him the whole
time. A little
bit.
I felt like he did engage. He did wrestle a little bit, but you could tell he was trying to stay out of a lot of stuff. He didn't want to get in the same boat he was in when he got majored.
Even his coach was yelling, like, over to the side, you know, stay out of the big stuff, yep. Stay out of the big stuff. And I was like, this guy doesn't understand we're coming off of – we ain't practicing 2 weeks.
Yeah, we got one leg right now.
We got one leg. And a lot of people don't know that. You know, I know that there were some huge expectations out there for Kerrigan because of the fact, you know, that he did have such a good season. But, you know, a lot of people don't know, after that semifinals match against Kevin Radcliffe, mm-hmm. he did not step on the mat again for practice until we showed up in St. Louis. We tried to get him as ready as we could by doing, you know, bike and you know, doing a little elliptical. We got him a cortisone shot, but it just at the end of the day wasn't enough. But ultimately, you know, we're super proud of him. He had a great season, and I'm super proud of everything he accomplished, and yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's the takeaway is I'm just super proud of him. I mean, great season. He's a warrior. For him to even step back out on the mat with, you know, what he was dealing with, that just shows how tough the kid is. And I hate that it had to end the way it did with him not being able to really go show, you know, what he can do, what he's capable of, but he certainly showed what he's made of.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one thing. He's going to make one heck of an educator and a coach, you mm-hmm. know, once he goes on. He's already got a job lined up, which is cool because you guys know being seniors trying to figure out that what you're going to do in transition can be a little bit stressful. So I was excited that he's finally able to nail something down, you know, back at his high school where he's going to be coaching and be a PE teacher, which he actually loves doing.
Yeah, he enjoys it.
Yeah, he does.
He's student teaching right now, and he's going to make, you know, South Carolina as a state will benefit tremendously from having such a high caliber guy back in the coaching ranks.
Absolutely.
So yeah, let's move on. We got Timmy Decatur, Timmy Jank, as we like to call him.
Timmy Jank.
It's Timmy time.
It's Timmy time, baby. He lost his first match to Jack Huffman of Augustana, who actually went on to take eighth place and become an All-American. Lost to a tough 4-1 decision.
Yeah, that first match, it was almost like he came out of the gates just a little slow, and Huffman kind of came out on fire, and I think that really was just the whole difference in the match. It was just sort of that little bit older guy wrestling a first-timer, a little shell shock. But things kind of changed that second match.
Yeah.
Yes. And his energy level picked up. He came out kind of, you know, just kind of walked into a couple traps mm-hmm. And gave up a few big moves. But apart from those big moves, I think he out-wrestled it was the Kutztown guy.
Yeah.
He out-wrestled him you know, in all the other positions for the most part. Several times you head in the hole and the guy flips it. I mean, yep. Just little things that I think we can build on for sure. But he looked so good in that second match. It was tough to see him lose that one and have his run in there. But super proud of Timmy. I think he wrestled a heck of a tournament, especially in that second match.
Yeah. And mark my words, this guy's going to be on the podium next year.
Absolutely.
I think he's a guy, if these guys know because they train with him every day. You know,
motor.
Yes. Right. He's not only that, but, I mean, he's just completely dedicated to the sport. And I think, you hit the nail on the head, he simply needed the experience. So I think those two matches at the national tournament and the whole process from start to finish is going to serve him well.
I'm not saying his technique's bad, but when the technical aspects catch up with his motor, mm-hmm. He's going to be hard to handle.
Oh, for sure.
And he does all the little things right, like outside the room. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. And I think his technique in what he knows and what he's capable of doing is actually there. He's a pretty high-caliber wrestler. It's when his motor starts taking over, he gets ahead of himself. That's kind of where we've seen mm-hmm. Him falter a little bit, him get a little sloppy.
Yeah.
But even the difference between some of those matches – mid to late season versus like there at regionals and nationals, he did make some yep. big improvements and adjustments. So I think if we can kind of keep polishing and tuning up some of those things, that technique will really completely catch up, even in those high-paced moments that he loves to create but doesn't always capitalize on.
Right, because you still got to be able to execute in those moments. And, you know, if we were to slow down, I can literally see that front headlock position you're talking about that he got to, like, three times. If we were to slow that down, you know, right now and say, hey, what are two other options we could have went to in this position, he could show you.
Yeah.
Like, he knows technically, but the ability to execute in that moment and be able to apply what you know when the singlet's on, the lights is on, you know, I think that's kind of where the experience part comes into play.
Absolutely.
But super proud of that dude. And like I said, Mark, remember this day. Like, yeah. Yes. I called it. He's going to be All-American next year.
I believe it. He's always trying to find ways to improve, and he's always asking questions. And
yeah.
His diet, <Yes. laughs> he's strict on his diet. Oh, I don't see how he does it.
We give him a hard time.
Yeah.
You know, he's off a little bit.
He's off a little bit. But, yeah, I love the guy and couldn't be, you know, more happy to have him be a part of the program. We're going to kind of get into some of y'all's your accolades, because you're next up, just weight class order. So you pulled out a tough first match you had, 3-2 against Northern State's Wyatt Turnquist to advance to the quarters. Talk a little bit about that first match and kind of, you know, what your thoughts were afterwards.
I don't know. I was kind of disappointed. I wish I would have scored a lot more points in that match, but, you know, I ended up getting the job done to move on to the next round. But, I just kind of wish I scored more points in that match.
I remember you telling me that after the match.
Yeah, and that's one of those – you dominated the match. Yeah. So it wasn't like you went out there and didn't wrestle well and had to survive and squeak that out, although that's kind of how it felt. Anytime you've only got a one-point lead late and he's firing off a million shots at you, it feels that way. But one of my favorite, if not my favorite moment, and we've got a lot of them because you've been here a while, but one of my favorite Isaiah moments was when he hit that elbow pass and the shot wasn't there and the kid tried to pull his arm back and Isaiah was like, and repassed it. I was like, yes, that's that moment right there was pure domination. I loved it.
Yeah, that's when you, like you said, the score was 3-2, but that one position showed the true gap in technical ability and experience and all that other stuff. So that was fun.
Okay.
In that next match, you know, the score, you ended up against Josh LeBach of Alderson Broaddus. You know, that first scramble, you remember that y'all got into?
Yeah.
I actually got it on my notes. That literally was one of my favorite defensive moments of the year. Like, he was in deep.
Yeah, that was crazy. I just told myself to keep wrestling. Yeah. I couldn't even explain to you how that happened.
We can't either.
Yeah, I just remember I didn't have anything to say. I was just watching, you know, moving with you. But that was some super high-level wrestling, man. I actually, another coach that I worked with at King kind of texted me right after that match about that particular moment. It was super impressive, high-level wrestling. And like I said, I think he something that kind of exposed him and not being at the same level as you are was that was all he had after that one, because you were able to build that lead and you finish it up major. And then went on, obviously, in the semifinals, we took a tough loss to Sam Turner, but you wrestled awesome. We lost that one in overtime. Final score was 3-1. And then, you know, went on a rampage in the backside when you defeated Logan Bailey of UIndy 8-4. I think you might have given it the first takedown, but then you're like, all right, I'm about to.
Yeah, he came out there with that little slicky, and I was like, oh, that was bad. You shouldn't have done that.
Yep.
You just upset him.
Yep. I can tell you flipped the switch right there.
Yep.
And so that was a fun match, especially because UIndy, they kind of had a good year. So to see you put it on them like that, that was awesome. And then, you know, we made it to that third, fourth place match. Things didn't kind of go how we wanted. And I don't want to talk too much about things we'll talk about in the interview, but I think it's safe to say that you statistically finished your career as the best and most decorated wrestler in Newberry history. So that's something to feel great about, man. You're always going to be mentioned in the conversation when we talk about the greats. And I think even when we talk about the greats among Division II wrestlers, being a four-time All-American, is there's a very small, you know, number of guys to accomplish that. So you should feel good about that.
That's it.
Absolutely. Only one in school history. Only five-time qualifier in school history. So,
yeah.
You know, rare company when you're by yourself.
Right.
At the top.
So awesome tournament, man. Super proud of you. Still moving along in weight class order. We got Talon Sites next, who competed. You know, he had a tough day, obviously. But his first match, I would say, was a tough match. He drew the eventual national champ.
Yeah, that's usually not the draw you want on paper. but interestingly enough, so as we know, Talon transferred from Nebraska Kearney. Matt Malcolm is still at Nebraska Kearney, so these guys were drill partners and practice partners for years, so he actually felt great about the matchup.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was confident going in, and actually you and I were talking about this earlier. That match, even though it was pretty decisive on the scoreboard, it was a whole lot of what I felt like were 51% to 49% positions,
yeah.
But when you win a bunch of 51% positions that are worth 4 points, they rack up real quick. And right. So that's – Talon was sort of on the short end of a few sticks in that match, but they really were 50-50 positions that he just barely lost out on, you know, couple scrambles, couple tilts that went Malcolm's way. But, you know, Talon wrestled tough in that match, and I do think there might have been some not mental struggles or anything like that, but I think wrestling a former teammate and trying to go prove yourself and all that stuff, you have to imagine that was at least weighing on him going into that match. So even though he felt good about the matchup, not a situation that I would necessarily want to be in.
Right.
For and sure. On his shoes, he still had the loper on his shoes.
Headgear too. Headgear too.
Yeah, headgear too. Somebody actually commented on that, like, as the match was going on, was like, these guys used to be teammates? Because I heard that.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything, but I heard somebody ask that.
So. Yeah.
And they wrestle so similar, and they actually kind of look similar.
I didn't want to say it. It was almost like watching a Talon wrestling a Talon.
Right.
I told Coach it was like when play Street Fighter and you both pick the same guy, so one of them's a different color.
He did say
like
that.
Like slightly different, like outfit and headband or whatever. Like that's what it looked like. It looked like two differently colored versions of the same exact guy.
And
so
that's to attest to Talon because he is that good.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is.
Yeah. You practice with him plenty. Oh, I mean, yeah. You know what it's
he
like to roll
me
with him.
Hard time too.
Coach knows what it's like to scrap with him.
I'm sitting here with a torn ACL. thanks, Talon. But yeah, he's super talented, and you know, he similar to Talon, not Talon, to Evan. You know, he just had an unfortunate run where he had to battle some injuries. He got banged up at Midwest Classic against another high level kid who went on to All American that from McKendree that he, you know, was actually, you know, had him on the ropes. They were in overtime when he
got banged up in overtime.
Yep.
That's right.
And so he sustained an injury there that made him miss practice time. And then again at regionals, which had him out for a little bit. So, you know, we all know wrestling is a tough sport. Like I said, I'm sitting here with a torn ACL. It just happens. You get injured. But that's kind of the name of the game. But at the end of the day, like just like the rest of the guys, we're proud of him. And let's not forget, he did clinch the Super Region 2 title for
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. Wrestled the Lander guy, I believe, in the championship round, beat him there, then lost, I think, in the semis, came back and wrestled the same guy for third and fourth.
That was a wild match.
And had a wild match.
Wild match.
That might have also been an overtime, if I'm not mistaken.
It was, wasn't it?
Another overtime thriller that he ended up winning that clinched us the region title. So that, I mean, just that moment at least, if nothing else, was a huge moment for him as a senior, as a transfer, as sort of being welcomed into the program with open arms and fighting in and out of the lineup with injuries. I mean, kind of the slated starter all year, but the injuries kind of kept him out of the lineup. And I think, you know, it definitely, definitely a huge moment for him. And if I were him, that would be one of my moments I look back on, you know, fondly for sure.
That was a huge contribution. What were you going to say? You were going to say something?
I was just going to say when he was wrestling the match to qualify, I was walking back and forth because, you know, the next weight class is supposed to be on the mat.
Right.
And if you ever, like, watch a teammate, you get hyped up too.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, like, hard to go back down to where you need to be.
Right.
I was trying so hard to, like, to stay on my match, stay focused, but the whole time Talon's hitting reversal.
It's like a middle school match over there.
Yeah. Right. And knowing you is how meticulous you are and having to do everything the exact same before a match, I can imagine you have a struggle.
And I had to put my shirt back on because, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that match took – It was long and drawn out, but it was wild.
Yeah, that's funny. And speaking of your matches and how you wrestle, you had a heck of a season, man. Yeah, I was telling Coach, when it comes to who I can relate to the most in terms of your careers, obviously I only made it on the podium once, so I really felt that same. I felt like an empath. I felt that sense of relief you had when you finally got it done, because I was the same way in my senior year, you know, having put in the work and like, all right, this is my last opportunity. Like, so to finally get it, I know that had to feel good.
And if I could take like a takeaway, I wish I would have savored it a little more, because y'all know after All American, I was kind of just like, y'all were like slapping me and everything. All American, man. I'm like, yeah. It's not what I wanted. And, like, you know, I wish I would have enjoyed it a little more.
Yeah.
But, no, I had fun, man. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and let's – you know, that first match, let's talk – you pinned a former All-American.
That
you know,
was wild.
Yeah. And
you think it was wild. You should have seen us. How about flip Coach out of his chair?
He did. Daniel Beamer of Ashland, which was a tough first-round matchup.
That was –
You know, to have not necessarily an ideal matchup, but you got it done. And what I liked about it is, you know, you being such a fundamental – wrestler, you know, it was something outside the box that really is what won you that match. You know what I mean? When he was in on that shot, and
It's funny because
I had a heart attack is what happened.
Yeah.
They say when you're thinking, you're not wrestling. I thought about hitting that move in the regional finals, but I thought, and it was already too late.
Right.
And I was hipping it. He was in on a high C. I was hipping in. And I finally just said, heck with it. And I went for it. Yep. It turned out good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It did.
It turned out.
Twice, really. Yeah. Turner said you had to pin him twice. But, hey, we got it done, though.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of those moments where you're like, no, yes.
Yep. But that was awesome. And then second year in a row, also that Newberry's had a pin at the NCAA tournament. Another fun fact, Will Evans last year had, you know, that pin that I forget where the kid was from.
Upper Iowa.
Oh, yeah, because he pinned him again this year.
Yeah.
At national tour. But, yes, last
year. To All-American.
Same move.
To All-American, yeah. Yep.
Same move.
So yeah, that's awesome. Hope we can keep that streak rolling next year. But yeah, you just had an awesome tournament. You lost for the first time since Midwest against Andrew Sams of UIndy. Yep. But for people that don't know, Sams also went on to be a national finalist. So I mean, he was a stud. And
that loss will make me a better coach because I don't mind talking about it now. I stayed on one knee too long.
Yeah.
And got, you know, pancaked in my back. And literally after it happened, I already knew what I did. Like, right. I was like, stayed on one knee a little too long, yep. Got extended, boop. But yeah, nah.
And just to, you know, highlight that briefly, like you coming off the match, I knew you were gonna be All-American when you came off that match, and because I was worried about where you're gonna be mentally, and I walked up and I was like, hey man, you know, how are we doing? You're like, I'm good, you know, got to win the next one. You're like, I'm fine. I know what I did wrong. You know, just gotta get ready. So like, I knew mentally, you weren't feeling sorry for yourself and all that. So like, that was a master class in how to mentally handle. You know, a tough break in that situation. Yeah. So, you know, I was super proud of that.
Yeah, and just a true testament to your maturity because, you know, that's one thing we struggle with our younger guys, you know, having a short-term memory. You took a loss, but, hey, if we're going to ever win a national title, we all got to have short-term memories and let's score these points on the backside. So that was awesome. And then in your next match, man, one other fun fact, you had to beat a three-time All-American, you know. And
I'm glad. I didn't know that after. I knew he All-American the year before, but I didn't know it was a three-time. So yeah. I didn't know that.
So beat a three-time AAA, Brock Brittle of Pitt Johnstown to clinch your All-American honors, and that was just a fun match to watch. Went on to wrestle Dylan Walker, who went up for Rookie of the Year. He's technically a freshman, even though he's like an older freshman.
He's an older freshman.
Yeah.
He looks like it.
I told him that on the podium. I asked him how old he was.
Yeah. Blant was telling me he's like 23 or something like that.
21.
Oh, okay, 21. Yep. Definitely an old freshman.
Yeah.
But then you went on to defeat Alan Michael of New Mexico Highland 6-3 to finish 7. Yeah. And that 6-3 is one of those scores where the score looks closer than it was. I mean, you dominated that.
That's one of those where takedowns come, you got to capitalize because you might not get to them again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. So you definitely did.
It was a very Spears match.
Yeah.
A lot of single legs.
Not a lot of top work.
Yeah. It was fun to watch, though. And that's how you want to go out on your last match, right? Speaking of finishing up, you know, had a really cool moment, touching moment. I think Turner said he was about to be in tears over there. You know, he took his shoes off. And the announcer, you know, she contributed to that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
By kind of letting everyone know what that symbolized.
Yeah. I didn't really want to make it like, oh, look at me. But, like, I knew that was going to be my last tournament as far as wrestling goes because it's – injuries I've had and stuff.
Right.
I was kind of, you know, not ready to be done, but I just felt like the time was right.
Yeah.
You know, about to have a baby, and I already got a 6-year-old, so I was just ready to start another phase of my life.
Right.
So.
No, it was awesome. And like I said, I just think it was, and you even got a round of applause from the whole stadium. So just to be a little bit more specific, people, you know, listening or watching that don't know, at the end of this match, you know, one thing wrestlers do, you know, when they finish up their career is leave the shoes in the middle of a mat, symbolizing, you know, that I'm done. I've come to the end of my road. And that's what Spears did at the end of that match when he took 7th. And that's when the announcer kind of came on and let everybody know what was happening. So it was a cool moment. Definitely just wanted to make sure we highlight that.
Absolutely.
I had a hard time with the tape. Though, getting
them
shoes
on. Let's talk about
that. Like, this man, he don't know how to untie his shoes. Who tied him? Who tied Spears' shoes today? I couldn't figure out what was going on.
I was recording and my arm was getting tired. I got a 20-minute video on my phone. Spears taking his shoes off.
You know, when you're wrestling, you got tape on your shoes, it gets messed up. It's like, dang, I was like, hey, our trainer, I was like, hey, can you throw me some scissors? But I couldn't.
Yeah.
And so I had to literally pull the tape off enough just to untie the shoes. And the tape was still on my ankles when the shoes come
on. That is so funny. The coach that was on deck, he was like, man, I guess he's not retiring, huh?
No, and I think I made the guy after me, like, at first he was cool with it, but I think it made him a little ill because I walked off the mat with my anklets still on after taking that
off.
Anklets.
Yeah. But But no, that was a cool moment. And it's also just a cool way into our segue, because the purpose, like I said, of this podcast really was to highlight you guys as leaders of the program. You've both done so much in your own right for Newberry Wrestling. And you know, honestly, me and Coach got our work cut out for us with the next generation of Wolves. To, you know, you guys have just set the bar so high. So I guess one question I want to start off with, now that the national tournament is over, what are some of y'all's takeaways now that you've had time to digest things? Takeaways, just general thoughts.
What do you mean as of like general thoughts, like about what?
Just like now that the season's over, you know, you've had some time to kind of digest, like, man, I don't necessarily got to be at practice anymore. I'm not, you know, my eligibility is exhausted. But, you know, how do you feel? If any, like, do you feel anything?
Yeah,
you,
no, like, I don't know. Like, I kind of miss it already. I not going to lie. Like, it's kind of to the point to where, like, it's over, but you don't really, I don't know. You kind of, yeah, you don't really want to accept it. But yeah. I'm kind of getting to the point to where I am accepting it and just kind of move it on. But I don't know. Like, I was kind of upset about, like, not finishing the way I wanted to. But at the end of the day, like, I can't be upset with my career here at Newberry.
No.
I'm happy, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Then again, like, I could use that, like, in my experiences to become a better coach or whatever.
Absolutely.
You know? Well, that's like after, you know, after the match when you lost or whatever, when you finished up, my wife texted me, was like, how's Isaiah? Or, yeah, how's Isaiah? And I said, well, he's disappointed, but, you know, he'll be all right. And she was like, tell him he better be proud of his career. He has nothing to be disappointed about or whatever. So, like, obviously – yeah, as a competitor, it's a little deeper than that. You know, she's just trying to be supportive. But at the same time, I'm like, she's right, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and from my own personal experience, and you may be able to agree or disagree or whatever, but I was really glad. I wouldn't change the fact, you know, like, Cy won it as a senior and kind of got to ride off in the sunset as a champion. I wouldn't trade the fact that I won it as a junior, because it took all the pressure off my senior year and let me enjoy it, you know, kind of stop and smell the roses, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, and I saw you looking like you were having a little more fun and enjoying just some of the monotonies of getting through a season this year. So, you know, I was happy to see that for you, and I'm hoping you were able to recognize that a little bit.
Yeah. No, Nolan, you guys know Nolan.
Absolutely.
Like,
no, I don't know.
we were talking before the season, and he was just telling me to, like, you know, enjoy every second of it. And this year, like, that was basically my goal.
Absolutely.
And especially not having the weight cut and everything. Kind of helped out a little bit. But, I enjoyed every second of it, and I have no regrets.
That's awesome, man.
So what was the feeling like to finally get on the podium?
Long
well, you've been on it before,
long
just
overdue.
To clarify.
Yeah.
Junior college All-American, but.
Yeah. Well, after, you know, the first year I was here, I was on a good run, then, you know, had a little knee injury. And then next year, another really good run, another knee injury. And I don't know if I should mention this or not, but having to, you know, kind of how some of our seniors had to do this year, go up and down with injuries. I wrestled 18 days out of knee surgery in Regions. So it was hard to catch back up last year, and I lost in the blood round, you know, because – You don't want to say your knee's your excuse, and I never will. But, you know, it's hard to get in the shape you need to be in when you're just biking and not wrestling. And this year I knew, like y'all were mentioning, when I lost, he was like, you know, I could tell you where you needed to be mentally. I was not walking out of there without something.
You got a mind made up.
Like, I was like, I don't care who it is. I didn't care if it was Sam's again. I was not walking out of here without something. But, it felt good to finally get on it. And, like I said, I wish I would have enjoyed it a little more and just took in the moment, like, hey, I'm finally there. Yeah. But, I had fun. And, like, to attest to what he said, I just miss it. I miss being around the guys, you know. Kind of, you know, I think real life's kind of hit us both a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I have a baby due in a few weeks, so I'm doing online class. And that's the one thing I miss. I miss being around everybody. Like,
yeah.
I'll be at home sitting around like, man, I wonder what they're doing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So I'm like, man, I bet they're having fun at practice.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Just joking around and stuff.
Right.
But, you know.
Well, and a lot of people don't know you both have kind of had, you know, one foot in being a student athlete and one foot in the adult world. I mean, Isaiah, you didn't compete. You didn't practice with us the first semester. You were holding down a full-time job, mm-hmm. And you didn't really get back to it until second semester, in which you were still holding down a full, you know, full-time job. And you, like you said, you got a baby on the way. You were balancing, you know, your wife, your six-year-old and your baby on the way, and trying to do classes. So, you know, the fact that you guys are still able to compete at such a high level while maintaining such a crazy balance of kind of being an adult and making your way into that adult life kind of situation is super impressive too. Yeah.
And I got to give a shout out to my wife, Lauren, because after Midwest, I didn't have the performance I wanted to. And we kind of changed a lot of things up, and she had to suffer a little bit, you know, not seeing me as much and everything. I know that was hard on her. So just give her a quick shout out.
Yeah, definitely.
It was the dad strength that did it this year. That's what got him over.
We were in a one-on-one one morning, I think I have dad strength now. Just to mess around with you. He goes, I ain't felt it yet.
Mine still ain't kicked in. I'm four deep, so good I don't Lord. Know.
That's cool. So for people who don't know, tell everybody about everyone what your majors are.
Exercise science.
Okay.
I'm a psychology major.
Okay. Cool. And now that, you know, this is kind of a loaded question because you might not know where you're at now, but now that you're coming to the end of your college career, what's next for you? And if you don't know what's next for you after you graduate, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
You want to go?
I'm not really sure, but hoping to be coaching, maybe. Okay. I'm not really sure what I want to be doing next, or what's next, but I'm hoping to be coaching. That's where I see myself in 5 years.
Nice. What level do you want to coach at?
Either or, either high school or college.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Cool. Or, you know, just start something up. I enjoy, like, you know, the weekend warriors, so hopefully maybe I could get more, like, one-on-one time with kids and, you know, doing – more clinics and things of that nature.
Well, shoot, we're trying to get I'm pushing I'm definitely always pushing for a GA spot here, so if you want to coach, you let me know.
Yes, sir.
Get that master's too. What about you, Spears?
After season, I'll be honest, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to coach or do something, but I didn't know to what level. I mean, heck, my six-year-old Josiah was in a kids club, and I was like, heck, I'll coach this if you want me to. But no, and a few weeks went by, and I've always kind of, you know, wanted to try it just to see whether it goes good or bad, see how MMA would go.
Yeah.
And I ain't going to lie, I had to pass up, like, one or two, like, pretty good job opportunities as far as coaching goes, high school level in North Carolina, that I had a few guys like, man, you're crazy to pass that up.
Yeah.
But I got a really close family member that's kind of helping me financially chase my MMA dream. Give a shout-out to him, Clint Jeffords. He also paid for my whole family to come out to Nationals, which was – really awesome for me.
I need Clint in my life.
But, yeah. And like we were mentioning, hope we can get him on the pin pool. Yeah. But anyway, no, that's
– send him a koozie.
I will.
I'm kind of just doing a little bit of the MMA thing right now, see where it goes. Might have a fight in about 4 to 6 months, give or take. But
training with another Newberry alumni, Chase Gamble.
Okay. Yes. Nice. I don't think I knew that part, actually.
Yes.
Okay.
But, you know, if it don't work out, you know, I'll have a degree and – coaching will be there.
Yeah.
So
gotta fall back.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to see you compete, man, and go that route. We've had a lot of guys that come through the program still on that circuit. You know, Brendan's just won a fight. And a $50,000 bonus. Speaking of somebody else we want to sign up for the pin pool. I'm just kidding. No, but we've had no shortage of guys come through and go that MMA route, and you definitely got what it takes. So
thank you.
Yeah, man. Moving on, what are some things I've mentioned a couple times? You guys were some of the most consistent high level performers that we've had in the program. What are some things that you feel like, you know, gave each of you respectively the edge over the competition?
Before anybody answers that, Coach, I gotta dip.
Okay. For everyone, he's got a lot of kids, and he needs to go.
They're all at school, and school just ended, so I have to pick them up. All
right, cool. We'll see. But, yeah, I'll repeat the question one more time. You know, what do you think gives you guys the edge or gave you guys the edge over your competition?
You want to go first?
I would say all of the work. You know, that I put in that people have seen, and all the work that no one has seen. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Being consistent, you know, doing what you're supposed to be doing, on and off the mat. And I would also say working on your mindset as well.
Yeah, you always talk about that. Yes, I know, sir. On our mini car rides home, we're saying we're talking about power to mind. Where did we leave off?
Mini car rides home.
Oh yeah, just talking about power to mind, work that people see when they're looking and when they're not, the work you put in.
Right. And what I was gonna say, what I feel like has helped me is the more work you're willing to pull in, like, the more you're gonna want it. And I don't know, I kind of feel like the more you're willing to suffer and the more you work hard kind of helps with that mental toughness as well.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what helped me.
Nice. What about you, Spears? What do you think of your age?
Kind of just to piggyback off that. I mean, putting in more work than the other guy. But also this year I learned how to recover just as well. You know, I think that was one of my biggest takeaways, because sometimes I've consistently overdid it and might have caused some of my injuries. But
overtraining is a thing.
Yeah. But no, I would just say outworking my opponent, like, you know, getting in one-on-ones with Blanton, doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
And another edge this year that – might be a little off, but I noticed, like, stuff that I was, like, trying to teach my six-year-old as far as being tough and stuff.
Yeah.
I had to make sure I did it too.
Right.
So, but I don't know if that was a little bit of an edge. Like, hey, I tell him not to be a quitter. I can't be a quitter, you know.
Yeah.
But, and like he was saying, the mental edge is huge. And one thing I noticed this year, I just focused more on my effort opposed to wins and losses.
Yeah.
Like, I knew if I went out here and gave my full effort in every position, I was going to be okay, and the score would take care of itself. So. Yeah,
and that was a switch you made after Midwest.
After Midwest.
And, I mean, it made all the difference. Yep. You went on a tear, and you were undefeated up until you know that round in Nationals.
And I doubt they'll see this, but I actually got it from the Wrestling Mindset guys.
Nice.
So.
I like it. So if y'all want to sponsor us, Wrestling Mindset. No, just kidding. But that's awesome. Okay. Another question I got for you guys, and you can speak candidly here, you know, obviously without calling out names and stuff. As veterans and moving on, what are some things where do you think we can stand to make the most improvement as a program?
Honestly, Coach, I think you're doing an awesome job, and I'm not trying to say, like, we can always get better, but I saw a huge jump in everybody from last year to this year as far as just the way we peaked and everything. Mm-hmm. Not saying we didn't have that before, but I noticed a difference in myself and, like, guys like Devin Moore, Nolan Wheeler. I mean, we all, even though guys that didn't make it to Nationals, like, they peaked so high at regions. Like, I've never seen a group of guys fight as hard as they did, even though they knew their shot was over.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'd say you're doing a great job. I really don't see anywhere. I mean, of course, you'll probably see. But
well, yeah, we took 15th, so we still got, you know, it's 14 spots we got left.
Well, absolutely. But I don't know. I would say just the mental aspect, like guys just getting a little bit mentally tougher. Like, you know, it don't matter if I got a black eye or if this is hurting or that's hurting.
Yeah.
You know, I got to go get the job done.
Yeah.
But
right. Kind of piggybacking off that, because I feel like I've been saying that all year. Like, I feel like most of the guys need to work on the mental aspect, because, mm-hmm. I mean – Every time, like, people ask me, like, you know, like, how's the new coach? And I tell them, I feel like you're pointing the program in the right direction.
I appreciate that.
And, you know, I don't know. Same for me. Like, I feel like my conditioning, like, this year is a lot better than last year's for sure. You know, and I've only been wrestling, like, half a year, you know. Yeah.
But it's like you said, after National Duels, I think it was, you know, there wasn't really a big difference in the technical aspect when we wrestled UNK and UCO. It was really just all mental.
Right.
Like, those guys were willing to fight. If they had to shoot four times in a row to score, they were going to do it.
Yeah, and if the hands got locked and the finishes got a little gritty, they were willing to grind through some of those tough finishes, whether they were on the defensive side of it or the offensive side of it. So I would agree with you guys definitely, and I think that's something we want to focus on wholeheartedly. So I do want to ask you this last couple questions. How do you feel, obviously, with this being the Pack Leader podcast, how do you feel Newberry specifically has prepared you to be a leader in whatever you choose to do? I know you mentioned you're going UFC. You mentioned, you know, potentially coaching. How do you feel like your time here, whether it be working with Cy, whether it be working with me, Blanton, your teachers, just your time at Newberry specifically?
I would say it just made me a lot more mentally tougher, because I came from JUCO and I placed there and I thought, oh, I'll be okay. And when I got here, it was a whole lot tougher. So, like, I don't know. And just, you know, the camaraderie with the guys, it kind of helped me. I don't know, man up a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially being around Blanton. Yeah, but nah, I love Blanton. But,
over there like, yep.
But nah, being around Blanton, being around Cy, I love how Cy was just always, no matter the situation, same with you, cool, calm, collective. Like, I could really take that away into my own life because yeah. I got a little bit of Blanton in me at times.
Yeah. And for people that don't know, it showed right before this interview.
For about 30 minutes. But, nah, I mean, just there's a lot of little tidbits I guess I could take and use in my own life. But if anything, just, you know, help me be mentally tougher and a lot more patient, I would say. Seeing you and seeing, like, Cy, like, it don't matter the situation. As long as you're patient, you're going to be all right. So yeah.
That's awesome, man. What about you, Zay?
Wait, I'm sorry. Can you repeat that question one more time?
I was saying,
I'm overthinking it.
Oh, you're all good. You're all good. I was saying, how has your time at Newberry prepared you to be a leader as you move on?
Man, sorry, how's that prepared me? I don't know. I mean, I guess in a sense, it's kind of helped me, like, you know, take initiative on a lot of things. Like, I learned I can't, you know, sit around and, like, wait for certain things. I have to go out and go do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just feel like, you know, being a part of this program and, you know, being around you, Coach Cy, and Blanton, I can't explain it. It kind of helped me become a better person. Like, you guys have helped me open up more. And I don't know. I feel like even being, like, here at Newberry, like, everyone's nice, you know, everyone's welcoming.
Yeah.
Like, friendly. I don't know. I guess I'm just babbling about how I enjoyed my time at Newberry. But I would say it's helped me become a better person and open up a lot more and figure out who I am.
Yeah, well, it's important. In order to lead somebody, you got to know, you know, you got to be pretty solid rocking who you are as a leader and as a person. So, I mean, that's huge.
Yes, sir.
And I just hope you guys know how grateful me, Blanton, and Cy are for the hard work and dedication you both have put into the program. So,
absolutely.
I appreciate y'all taking time to be on the show. It's been awesome having y'all be a part of the season, be a part of my career. I know I was here a little bit, Isaiah, in 2018 when you made the finals the first time and then I left, but I'm back. It's been such a pleasure to coach you guys, and as much as you've said you've learned from us, I mean, we as coaches have learned from you as well, both of you, you know, in your own respective right. I've definitely picked up things along the way mentally, you know, technically, from both of you guys, and you made me better too, so I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, for sure. So moving on here, I just want to wrap up with a couple things. Want to go into some general news for Newberry College as an institution. You guys might know we just hired our new athletic director. Name is Sean Johnson, and he comes from the University of Jamestown in North Dakota. And our former athletic director, Ralph Patterson, just retired, so we wish him a happy retirement, but also super excited to welcome Sean. Today was his actually first staff meeting with us, so welcome, Sean. For those who don't know, just a couple accolades. When he was at Jamestown, he saw the enrollment grow by 35% to over 650 students, and under his leadership, the program added men's and women's ice hockey, men's volleyball, women's swimming and diving, and during his tenure there, they also completed two major capital projects, and this is why I was most excited about his hire, because those projects included a $16 million Harold Newman Arena in 2017 and then another $12 million Gordon and Charlotte Hanson Stadium. So
we need a new wrestling room. Correct. Is what he's saying.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So, no, he's a man who gets things done, and just being in a meeting with him today, everybody was fired up. He's definitely a leader, so I'm awesome. Excited to be working with and for that guy. Some just general shout outs really quickly so we're not too long winded. Shout out to Cody Brundage, who just won his MMA fight. Like I mentioned that earlier, so that brings his record to 7-2. BJ Young has a fight coming up on April the 15th.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
He'll be fighting. Have you ever heard of Cage Fury fighting?
Yeah.
Championships?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's he has that fight against Vitor. I won't try to say his last name, but that's good luck, BJ, for that. And then last two things, Jake Elkins in Ironclad. I don't know if y'all, do y'all follow
they
them?
Tore up yeah, I follow out them there.
Yeah. In Iowa, they went off.
They went off. Yeah.
They had, they took 30 athletes in total. They came away with 11, four national champs, a runner-up, and 11 All-Americans out of the 30 that they took. They had six blood rounders that were a match away, and then they also placed 12th out of the 288 teams that were there representing different states and clubs. So shout out to Jake. Last but not least, prayers up for Jeff Vesta. He's an alumni All-American here. He just lost a brother. I saw that on Facebook earlier. Just definitely wanted you to know we were thinking about you, Jeff. Keep your head up and know that we're sending love and good vibes your way. Up next, we're in the last episode for the year. We're going to be introducing the incoming recruiting class of 2022. You guys have seen and helped host some of the guys that we got coming in. I think it's safe to say we got some talent.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yep. And we're finalizing. This is a big month for us. We got some guys coming that we're having some really good conversations with that I'm excited to put a bow on and hopefully be able to tell you guys about that on the next episode. Appreciate you listening. As always, go support us on social media. We will bring the next podcast to you in late April when we'll be interviewing alumni Travis Sheehy, who was also an All-American for us. When I wrestled here, we were fortunate enough to be teammates. But appreciate your time, and to you guys, I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, Coach.
Sure. Thank you.
All right, we'll see you next time.